Yaakov, and then we conclude with Magen Avraham. So the Gemara says, Yachlo, you would have thought that what Yehichos and Kulan, we should conclude mentioning Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Atocha to Avraham Avinu that no, B'chachos min, that we're going to conclude, the Bracha is going to conclude Magen Avraham. Hare Deyesh Mail Yisera Baskaras Pratis Milvad. Alright, so what do you see from here? So some wanted to bring this as a raya, that it's considered to be chashuv to have your name mentioned separately. So some wanted to use this as a raya. It's not right to go ahead and group all the names together in the Kelmale. It's not right to do that. To the contrary, it's considered to be a mila if you can have everyone's name separate. And he writes, the truth of the matter is, he says, with all due respect, I don't think there's a raya for there. The shiny hasam, that case is different. Over there, first the names are mentioned separately, and then the siyam rak b'avram. So then shapir yeshalo lisson. So therefore, of course, there's sort of a mila to Avram because the first part of the bracha lists one everybody separately, everyone's name, and then he gets an encore, a double appearance. Over here, that's not what's happening. Over here, everybody gets the same time in the spotlight. Doesn't seem to be any advantage whether or not you have a separate kamali for each and every person, or group everyone together. And what does Rashi say over there? Lami hiskir shuv la'avram liskin Yaakov. Why does it repeat Avram liskin Yaakov? Ella Avram kedai l'ta'atzmo, Yitzchak kedai l'yatzmo, Yaakov kedai l'yatzmo. To tell you that each and every one of them wouldn't be kedai for them themselves. B'chein havi b'sifrei. V'mkein, im yomar ha'shatz b'azkarosan nishmas kol ha'meisim, v'acharkach yifrot shmoseyim, harei mizeh yehachochosh kol echad kedai b'fnei atzmo. So then there shouldn't be a problem over here. If the chazan, whoever says the kelmole, will make a public we'll make a statement regarding the Shabbos of all the Mesim and then mention these names. So what is that? So that each and every one of these are Kedai B'fnei Atzmo, just like Rashi and Medayik and the Pasuk over there. And we also have a Gemara like that in the beginning of Megillah. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know that we read Megillah some days on Yudalit, some days on Tetzvav? Maybe, says the Gemara, you're reading it wrong. And the Gemara is over there as a series of drashos. But this is what's most relevant to our sugya now. The Gemara over there says, if it would have said the 14th and the 15th, so then kibbutz hamis, and then it would be like you say. But hasha dechsev es yom yudalad vi es yom tezvav. That's what it says in the pasuk. Es yom arbasar, es yom chamisha asar, also es upasak. Hani biyudalad, v'hani b'tezvav. So says the Gemara. This is the quote for the Gemara Megillah. So it comes along the word es and basically differentiates. This is yudalad and this is tezvav. Vinkain, Hachinami, in Yoma is Nishmas Ploni Ben Ploni, V'es, Nishmas Ploni Ben Ploni, Yiha Lahaskar B'Fneyatzmo, Chol Echo V'Echot. Mashi Yishi, Ayin B'Ze, B'Shasta B'Avakamet, Samachayim Beis, Ar Gemara, Reb Shimba Yechai says, V'es is Arvekra, the Rabbanan says, Paske. But very interesting, he seems to be suggesting over here that a way that you can sort of preserve preserve the chashivas for each and every name is by separating the names with the word ve'es. And what you see from the Gemara over there is that gives each one its own chashivas. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, typically when we say Mishabeach over here, maybe it's not quite the same shayla. I'll tell you one in a moment. When we say Mishabeach, we don't do ve'es. We say Mishabeach, we just list the names. Maybe we should. Why would a kelmali be different? Why would a kelmali be different? Yeah? Right, but it could very well be the whole anachinami. I mean, it could definitely make a case that, you know, the S over here shouldn't be relevant over here. But I don't know that the usage of the word now necessarily, you know, should be relevant. Meaning, the fact of the matter is, it is a word that exists. You know, we can come up with a new word, but it's a word which sort of forces us to pause And rather than just saying a whole bunch of names in one group, which, you know, which takes away from the, you know, chashivas of each and every individual, the S sort of, you know, it's like a way of, you know, it's sort of articulating a comma, as opposed to just saying names. You know, I'm not saying, again, but, so why would we mechayev between the Mishaberach and the Kelmalet? So I think what was behind the Shuvah of the Marsham becomes a little more clear in the next Shuvah of the Beis Yisrael. We'll read just a few paragraphs here. He writes, Mashashal b'ingin haskaris neshamos, shaminag b'katni, katni kadosh of the Na, la'asos kamali rachamim, b'chol echad v'echad b'pratut, everybody had their own private recitation, b'ilu neshamos shakanu atzman l'chever kadisha. These people who the kamali was being said for were people who paid for this while they were alive. Before they died, they basically paid a fee, like some people pay to have their graves taken care of. So here they wanted to make sure that there'll be a kamali recited in the shul. When parlo hem avozeh, shabeis haskaris neshamos yasu lehem kamali rachamim, ba'ata yesh me'akosh, hem orim medavar, sejat tichli tibura, ba'amsin neshi yasu kamali rachamim, for everybody, l'kol echad v'rotsin shashat yasu kamali rachamim, l'kulam yachad, v'yifo kalachad b'shmo, also kamali rachamim, yichol rachos ken. So I don't know that would necessarily be, I mean, you could argue on behalf of the Cholim as well, but typically we don't find necessarily that the people who are on the Mishaberach list necessarily paid their way in advance to be on there. But when it comes to the Kelmali over here, say these people, you know, we're sort of being told on their behalf, they're dead. But where the question is that wrong? You know, these people paid to have a Kelmali recited, and now because the people don't have patience in shul anymore, so now we should just group them all together in one Kelmali. Yeah, Dave, what do you think?
I don't know, it's one man's opinion.
Yeah?
If, even if someone pays for it, if the meaning of the shul is to group them together, that has to be understood by the person who pays for it.
Right, okay. But furthermore, not that you said this, but the position that you're taking indicates that you seem to be acknowledging, yeah, Hanami, really it is more chashiv if you could have your name in your own kelmale, but what are you going to do? That's not the minhag of the shul. But is that so true? Is that something we need to accept as a given? So he writes just a couple of interesting paragraphs over here. No, well, they wanted to change it. They wanted to change it. That's what he's saying over here. They wanted to change it. This has always been done this way, but now they want to change it. So he writes, this is an interesting tshuva. I'm just going to summarize some of the highlights over here. In the next paragraph, he says, I'm not going to give you a whole arichos over here, but I will tell you, he quotes other tshuvas over here, and say, number one, you could be machalik between Yom Kippur and other days of the year. Why? So he's saying on Yom Kippur, anyway, people are shul fasting, they have nowhere to go anyway, so there's no reason you're in the tzirch of the tzibur. So in Yom Kippur, where it's very common for people to say Kelmale, so then everybody can have their own moment in the spotlight. When you say Yizkor, then that's considered a tzirch of the tzibur. He says, I don't understand that. He says, on Yom Kippur is also a tzirch of the tzibur. First of all, people have to stand there and be quiet the whole time. And he brings a raya from the Gemara in Yoma that there's a yin of tir for the tibura on Yom Kippur. And then he goes and he says, oh, this is the bottom left over here, the mavad tam tichot tibura, chashu b'zash ariyasir, that is much amar chashaf, basiyas kamali rachmin, b'pratis l'chalecha b'yachad, ha'am ochum chutz l'beis ha'knesses, and m'z'arv ma'nashu v'nashim. All the men and women are going to get bored in shul, all the kamali is going to be hanging out in the street on Yom Kippur. And then he goes on and has a terrible thing, that on Yom Kippur there should be socializing of this nature. So he says, I wouldn't be so quick to just say it's okay on Yom Kippur. He said, maybe you should be more concerned about Yom Kippur.
It's funny because in the moment,
it's the most sacred time of Davening.
They have this special history where they mention all yet. So it's interesting that we don't have that.
Right.
But it seems like they kept it somewhere.
Right. They had that way. Everybody's name would be mentioned.
Meaning, reform finishes at 11 o'clock. Yom Kippur, but then they have a special
discussion. Right.
Where they mention everybody
had it. Right. But it brings people. I mean, that's one of the reasons people come. I think that's considered very kosher. So, but then he writes. I mean, to this, this is what I found to be most fascinating, and actually reassuring, because I think we actually made a decision a few months ago after this past Tishrei that we're going to actually institute this change twice a year here in the shul, because it really, it was close to 15 minutes. So this paragraph over here, he writes on the second page, bottom of the right column, he says I could bring perhaps something to rely upon to make us feel better about mentioning anyone's name together. The Medrash says in Parshas Noach, what does the Medrash say? When I remembered Noach and had Rachman, it was only him. That's what it says. That's the end of the Medrash. What does it say in the Mishnah regarding Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, the entire world, is what passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like sheep. But then it says what? The Gemara in Daf Yuches says, oh, Rabbi Brachana, the kulan is karen v'skira achas. That nevertheless, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges them, the judge is one group. Alright, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kolu kulam yachan kedei l'sarfan, l'schuz zeh, l'zaku zeh zeh. That is considered zechus for Klal Yisrael when we're all grouped together. And then it goes on to say, the Gemara itself tells us that we have an obligation of halacha b'drachah, and if you see that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, it groups people together, so we also, and this is halacha b'drachah, following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should feel okay about grouping people together. So very interesting. So in addition to the fact that he considers the concern of Tzircha L'Tzibur to be a serious one, and especially on Yom Kippur, where you have other concerns as well regarding people really having to stand unnecessarily, getting bored in shul and who knows what. He says anyway, the notion of grouping people together is not a bad thing. That's not something that necessarily will reflect poorly upon these individuals. To the contrary, it's something that can be considered zechus for them, which is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it himself. Very interesting. Yeah. What was it? Right. Right. Well, that's what the Marsham said. Marsham said,
even here, that pasuk of Noah that he uses the same thing. So.
Right. So that's what he said to me. That's really what you should do.
Yeah. But they sort of like McGill.
Here's the other question. The other question is: there's a whole way of an Israel of parts. Meaning, is there more power in terms of the tefillah to group individuals together as a tefillah, or to make a separate tefillah for them?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I was interested in the history of some of these things. How can we start saying, Malay, how old is the tefillah? Sort of like your title seems to have come along. Like the Middle Ages,
the observance of a yard side is, I mean, the Mishnah is referred to. Right, the Kelmole may predate Yizkor. Now, Yizkor, right, Yizkor did start after the period of the Crusade. That's when it was introduced, first on Yom Kippur, and then it was extended to the Yom Tov as well. It's not even done that way, I don't think, by the Sfardim. I think this is something which is unique by the Ashkenaz, the way we do it. But the Nusach of the Kelmole, I don't know how old it is, but or saying a Kelmole in a yard site, I don't know that that's a, that's, I don't know how,
curious,
that's how recent per se. I don't know.
As an Abbas,
right.
Some things that have expanded.
Oh, definitely.
The Sheik was saying, so this is one of those things. Maybe you can say, look, they used to.
Right. The Mishnah Berachos have become a lot more formal and institutionalized. Even in our lifetime. I have people in shul said they remember when a person got a mishbech, it was a mishbech to be said for a chola, the person wants a mishbech would get an aliyah. He would ask the gabbai for an aliyah because he had to say mishbech for somebody who was sick. So, clearly what's going on today, is a different situation. There could be many reasons for that. I even think in the last, probably in the last 10 years, it's gotten even more so, I don't want to say out of hand, but maybe out of hand somewhat, because names have been distributed, you know, all around the world just like that. So these names grow and, you know, information travels and they tend to accumulate. But, okay, be that as it may, you know, that's how we're dealing with the Kamale. The Kamale, you know, for the most part, at least in our community, has been preserved and reserved for, you know, people who are just there to honor usually their parents or other relatives on the yard site. But there are those times a year where we have a lot of people coming up together and try to deal with this question of Tiyach B'tzibur. Gemara then continues the last skinny line over here in Samachemet Bay is Amar Rabbi Lo. Yiganav Tala v'nase Ayil Egel v'nase Shor Nase Shinoi B'yado v'kno Tavach Mocha Shalohu Tavach Shalohu Mocha. So what's Rabbi Lo teaching? If a person is gonav a lamb and then it becomes an ayil, a ram, or he steals an egel, a calf, and then it grows up into a nice big strong shor, so this is considered a shinoi that happened while it is in his possession, and therefore he's caught it. It's now his. And actually, that creates a big kula. Now, if he goes ahead and he shechts it or he sells it, shalom tovech. He shechted his own animal, because there was a shinoi in his possession, and shinoi kona, which is really subject to Gemara a little later on from here, shalohu mocher, and we consider as if he sold his own, and therefore, according to Rabbi Lo, there's no payment of dalet v'hei. You only have to pay dalet v'hei if you take somebody else's animal and you shechted or steal it. But if you take your own animal, no. So over here, he stole an animal, but since it has undergone such an important transformation, physically, it's considered like a different animal, shinoi kona, he acquires the animal for himself, and therefore, doesn't pay dalet v'hei. Says Rashi, this is one of the kinyanim that would affect a change of rishus, even by something that was stolen. Says Rashi about Karen the Kefil Mishalim. He would still pay Karen and Kefil. Karen ki hashta. Karen he would pay in accordance with the way it is worth now. Kefil ki inshagana v'kashas hamadim din. Kefil would depend on the machlokas that we saw previously. Right. Well, what's different over here is that the animal is considered, according to Rabbi Law, the animal is considered a different animal. Therefore, based on the principle of Shinoi Kone, he acquires the animal for himself. And he certainly just has to pay back what he stole, but the Knas of Dalet V'hei doesn't apply over here, because when he sold it or he shechted it, it was really his own animal. It didn't belong anymore to the Balabas. He didn't have a chiyuv to return this animal per se. He now koned and he has to pay the Karen v'chomesh. He has to pay the Karen or the kefil, depending on the circumstances. So, that's the din of Rabbi Lo. So comes along the Gemara and says, Eisvei Rav Chanina l'Rabbi Lo, Ganav Tala v'nasa ayil, Ego v'nasa shor, Meshalim tashlumi kefil, v'tashlumi abo v'chamisha kein shaganav. Rav Chanina disagreed, and he quotes a brisa. The brisa says exactly this case. If he steals an animal in its young, infant state, and then it matures into an adult, he pays not only kefil, but he has to pay dalet v'hei as well. Kein shaganav, based on the value of the time that he stole it. Goes explicitly against Rabbi Lo. So if you write, now again, over here, right, so if you're right, that in fact he pays, that this is considered to be a shinoi, with which he's cloning the animal, I'm my mishalim. Why is he paying dalet v'hei? Shalom taveach, shalom mocha. Just like you said beforehand. He shechted his own animal. He sold his own animal. So Amalei, so Rabbi Lo says back to Rabbi Chanina of Elamai, what do you want to tell me? You want to tell me Shinoi lo kani? You want to tell me that there is, that Shinoi is not kani over here? Amai Mishalim ke'en shaganav. So then why does he have to pay in accordance with the value at the time that he stole it? Mishalim ke'ashto. What he should really be paying is what he's worth now. In other words, even you, your shita doesn't make sense. Because you're telling me, well, he's not kani b'shinoi. He's not kani b'shinoi. So then what do you care what was worth at the time it was stolen? Look at what its value is now. So Amalei, he says no. So Chanina says back to you, look, Yehashta, Hainatani Dilam Shalim, the reason why he doesn't have to pay according to value now, Mishav Da'alei, because he says, Turagandi Minach, what, did I steal a shore from you? Did I steal a big ox? Dilchagandi Minach. All I stole was a little calf, an angel. That's all I took. So how could you make me go ahead and pay for the big shore that is now? That's ridiculous. All I stole was a little calf. So Amalei, so when we all heard of Hanina's response, he said, Rachmana Nitzlani Haidaita. He said, what? Oh, Yvei. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on you for saying such a terrible thing. So Amalei says, Adarava, Rachmana Nitzlani Haidaita. What's going on over here? It's not the way a typical Gemara fight ends. Right? We've seen many, many debates and shas, and usually, even if they include insults of some sort, they include arguments as well. You know, but what's going on over here? Chanina and Rabbi Law are having it out, and then Rabbi Law throws his hands up, and he says, what? You're going to tell me that? That's Yisvar Rahman al-Islam to say such a thing. And Chanina says anything back to him. It's very, very strange.
Exactly.
Excellent. So I'm glad you made that point. Because it's an excellent segue into the Meshul Chachma. You're going to see a great, great Meshul Chachma. Turn the page that I gave you, and we're going to look. There are two pages of Meshul Chachma. Finally, the first one we're looking at Chavah. It says Kuf Tadi Beis on the top of the page. This is the nice. A footnoted version of the Meshul Chachma, the version of Kuperman, which is very helpful. This Meshul Chachma in general is very hard to read. So on this pasuk, Kignav Ishor Oseh Otracha Macharo. So the Meshul Chachma starts over here by saying, "Take a look at Rashi." So over here in the footnotes, actually at the bottom, they quote Rashi over here, which is helpful. So take a look. Amar Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. You know this Rashi. Chas Hamakom Mekvodem Shabrios. The Torah is concerned about Kavod HaBriyos. Shor shaholech baraglov, lo nizbazeh bo haganav l'nosach seifu mishalanhe. A shor which walks on his feet and therefore does not disgrace the ganav by having to carry him, so he has to pay more, five times the amount of the value of the animal. Set shenosach seifu mishalan dalet hov nizbazeh bo. But a set which he has to schlep on his shoulders, it's a little bizarre to him, so the Torah has pity on the ganav and makes him pay a little less, only four times the amount. It's a famous statement. That's what Yochanan ben Zakkai's take on the difference between a shor and a set, dalet v'heh. Amar Reb Meir, Reb Meir is somewhat of a different take. Bo re'ei kama gedola kochos hamelacha. Reb Meir says, what's really going on over here is look how valuable, how important melacha is. Shor shebitlo b'melachto mishalan heh, seh shelo bitlo b'melachto dalet. A shor is considered a much more valuable animal because of the work that it can produce, because of what it could do for the owner. But seh can't do as much. If at all. So since it's not bit of malacha, he only has to pay dal. So these are two pshatim as Rashi, as to why there's a difference between dal and vehe. So it comes along the Meshul Chachma and says something incredible. He says, b'shnei hatamim, with these two reasons, brought down a Rashi, explaining why a shor is five and why he says four, yispar divrei ha-gemara perek meruva. I can explain to you a very strange gemara. He quotes our whole gemara. We'll read it again. I'll be through the chazar for us. Amar Rabbi La, Gadav Tzalev Nasa Ayil, Egev Nasa Shor, Nasa Shinoi, B'yadav Ekno. If he steals the animal when it's young and it becomes old, is a shinoi that takes place when it's in his possession, he acquires it. And so therefore, Tavach HaMachar, Shalohu Tavach, Shalohu Malka, we say it's like you shafted your own animal, you sold your own house. Eisu, Rechanina Rabbi La, so Rechanina attacks Rabbi La, and he says, what? It says in a brisa, Gadav Tzalev Nasa Ayil, Egev Nasa Shor, Mishalim Tishlu Ketel, Vitash Lumei Abba, V'chamisha, Ke'en Shagar, it says explicitly, you pay dal the hay. The east of the bad dochan. If it's true, like you're saying, kane b'shinoi, I'm a mishalim. Shalom to the shalom oche. So Malay. So Rabbi Loss said back to Rabbi Chanina, "Elamai, what are you telling me? Shinoi lo kane? I'm a mishalim kane shaganav l'shalom kahashta. Why is he paying what it was worth originally? Amalei kahashta. Any time the lo mishalim mishum damalei tur gandam enough. Vifur gandam enough. Because he says, and why should I pay you the value of a shor? All I stole was an avia." Amalei says, Rahman and Mitzlame high time, Amalei Rahman and Sami me died to the dach. What does this mean? A perush. So I want you to take a look first at footnote number 3. Because it's exactly what Moshe just said. Ki Amnam, he says, Stam Nasugis Gemara Velo Pirsha Madua Kalecha Mistayig Meshitas Hashem. It's very strange. This, the footnotes of Meshach Chachma, this probably was bothering Meshach Chachma, is the way the Gemara sort of just ends in a stalemate without either side really expressing what's the problem with the other one. It would seem that there's a much broader, deeper, and maybe even, as you'll see in a moment, maybe even philosophical on some level, debate that's going on over here, which forces each side to sort of maintain its own position, and it's sort of coming to light through this sugya. So here's the way Meshach Chachma explains. HaPerish, the pligi bahana straight timing. The Chanin of Allah arguing basically along these two different shitas in Rashi. The latam yishum debakling mlacha. The opinion of Reb Meir, who says the reason why you pay more for a shoy than a set is because of all that bitum mlacha. And Cain, ki gana bimeru egel, halo hayim lacha pachus. That when he stole the egel, it could produce very little. The acharkach, nasa shor, hayo lacharisha, and later, as it develops and matures into a source, and now it's usable to plow, it came, mistab the chiv tashum idal vehei, boin kibishas hatvicha umechira. Sha'oz hayuroi lamlocha gedola. So therefore, what does that show? It shows that mistab, according to this opinion, how would you evaluate the payment of idal vehei? It would be in accordance with the way it was worth at the time that it was actually sold or shechted, because that's when it was very royal and lacha. And since it would be potentially a very significant loss to the owner, he should have to pay what it was worth at that moment of the time of tzicha. However, according to the other reason, that it's a question of covered abrios, that at the time that he stole it, he had to schlep it on his shoulders. Hello, Oz, how you b'shas ha-gneva? That was at the time of Gneva. V'rolam anu ashkafas ha-Torah gam b'chiyuv al ha-tvicha o ha-mechira l'hokil alav b'pnei sheb'es ha-gneva he mevaz ha-atmo alav. So what this reveals to us is that the Torah is saying that even the payment for the tvicha l'mechira should be adjusted if there was a bizoy that the ganav had to experience at the time of the gneva. So that reveals to us that the Torah is more is makvid that the tashlumen reflect the value at the time of the gneva. And based on that value, that's how we calculate 4 or 5 times later. Kevin b'chiluk ben shor v'seh, sofia mabed ta Torah. Al Masha Hoya Be'ez HaGneva V'zeh Nochon V'doh Ketiv V'ganav Da Masha Batam Amlacha Zaha Yeshev. No, okay, so leave that for last point out. So very, very interesting approach in the Meshach Chachma to basically say that this Machlokas between Rav Chanina and Rav Yehuda, which neither one was really satisfied with the other position, and actually went as far as say Rachmana Litzlan, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow you to reach such a conclusion, because they understood that the Torah itself sort of reveals this very point that you see from the way you understand the difference between why there's a difference between Dalet Vehei for Shor Seh. So Remeir takes the approach that it reflects Bitul Malacha. Bitul Malacha means the Torah is concerned about the value of the animal in the future at the time of the Tzvich Mechira. So that's when you should be looking at the value of the animal. Whereas the other opinion will say no, like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who says that the Torah was more interested in determining whether or not there was a bizayon to the ganav at the time of the Gneva, and that shows that what? That that's the moment of time that the Torah is most concerned about in terms of calculating the value of the animal. So, we saw already last week that there is a machlokas about this, namely, at which point in time you... What are we which point in time are we going to evaluate and assess with actions of machlokes in terms of keifa? So, but the question over here, this machlokes between Rabbi Lo and Rabbi Chanina, regarding the natural transformation of this animal, you know, still seems to, you know, bring us back to this machlokas over here, this very basic machlokas, is whether or not we consider the tashlumin to reflect the time of Geneva, or, as the Gemara says, kihashta, the way it is now, at the time of Tzricha Mechira. I think we explained last week also outside that, and I think actually quotes over here the Rush, that it makes sense anyway, if he's sorry to be machalik between Karen and Tzricha Mechira, because the Tzricha Mechira is a continuation in sorts of the act of the Geneva. So it makes sense that we should sort of reevaluate the value of the animal at that particular point in time, as opposed to Stam Geneva, which seems to, you know, be beginning and the end of the particular, you know, the crime. Okay. Okay, continues more. Interesting, there are very, very few comments in the Rishonim. I mean, I looked around, I couldn't find much in terms of commenting on this machlokas. The way the Gemara records over here, Rahman al-Itzlan, Rahman, I mean, Rashi Tosas over here, don't really offer much, and the other Rishonim as well, but a very interesting approach to Meshach Chacham. The Gemara continues, Maskabar Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira says, hold on a second. Why are you telling me, why are you so quick to say that there is not, who's this attack on? This attack, I think, is on Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina, who just said that, one second. Maskev lov in the Mishnah Yashay, one second, and the Yiddish also did a lot of Mishnah. Right, so it's a question of Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina was disputed with Rav Lah, and he said that natural transformation of the animal is not something which is considered to be a shinoi, which you could be coded. But Rav Zeira says, wait a second, Maskev Rav Zeira v'nikninu v'shinei Hashem. He should still be coded through what's called Shinei Hashem. What's Shinei Hashem? Shinei Hashem means there's been a name. There's been a change of the name of this particular animal, and we have another din, and that is that when you steal something and there is a transformation which affects the name of that particular object, so then that's considered an offer of a shiloi, which would constitute a kinyan. So then the ganav would basically be konit, and therefore, as we said before, the tzricha mechira was done with his own animal. What does it mean there's a shiloi Hashem over here? What's the shiloi Hashem? Well, before it was called a tlan, now it's called an ayah. Before it was called a egel, and now it's called a shor. So it says Rashi, "Dektinu b'shinei Hashem, nihi d'sherach d'gufe lo havishinoi d'memeilu k'shavach." Fine, you want to tell me that the change in his body is not considered shinoi because it happened automatically. D'memeilu k'shavach hazal. Miu b'shma v'ada yishtani. It's definitely a name change. Name change. So Amar Rava says, no, there is no name change. Shor ben Yomo Kari Shor, Ayo ben Yomo Kari Ayo. A Shor on the first day of its birth is called a Shor. And an Ayo on the first day of its birth is called an Ayo. How do you know that? Shor ben Yomo Kari Shor, Dechsiv Shor Okesav Leis Kivale. It's pretty clear. The Pasuk says explicitly, a Shor or a Kesav or an Eis, Ki Yivale, when it is born. So what do you see from there? You see that a Shor ben Yomo is called a Shor. And similarly, Ayel ben Yomo Kari Ayel, the Chsivitza says, Eilei Tzon Cholo Achalti. This comes from Yaakov's speech to Lavan, which says, you know, I worked very hard for you, I was a very devoted servant, I never took anything, Eilei Tzon Cholo Achalti. I didn't eat any of the, any of your tzon. So it says, Eilim Hudala Achal, Kvasim Achal. What was Yaakov playing games with Lavan? He's saying to him, I didn't eat any of your Eilim, but I did eat the Kvasim. No! An ayo means every animal in any stage of maturation is called an ayo. It's true that we have a special word, but that doesn't change the fact that a shor is a shor when it's one day old, and an ayo. An interesting thing, I'll let just interject with one more point and go back to the sheep before we go on to the Gemara. At this point, this is a nice haskav. Oh, wait a second. You know what? We'll save this. It'll be dessert. We can get to it. It's 9:17 already. We should at least get to the end of the Gemara over here. So says the Gemara, Mikoma from Kasha, it's still going to be a Kasha on Rabbi Law. What's a Kasha on Rabbi Law? Why is this a Kasha on Rabbi Law?
there was no change happening. You say the name changed, not changed, so what happened?
Right.
But
Rabbi Lov thought there was a Shinei Aguf. That was enough for him. Now you're saying no. Rabbi Lov was not really. It wasn't the Shinei Aguf. It was the Shinei Hashem. So now that we're saying that really there is no change in the name, there is really is no name change. So it becomes a kasha Rabbi Lov. Okay. I thought that Rabbi Lov was talking more about the Shinei Aguf. Maybe not. So Amr Rav Shesha Somani B'Shamayi. No, you know what? I disagree. I change. This is not that. It's not the kasha Rabbi Lov is not on this. The kasha on Rabbi Lo is actually going back, I think, to Rabbi Chanina's kasha from the Braisa. See, that was a problem for Rabbi Lo. I mean, right? What did it say? Rabbi Chanina was not just arguing about Pisvari. He had a Braisa which went against Rabbi Lo. It says explicitly in that Braisa, Gonav Tola Benasa Ayil, Ega Benasa Shor, Misham Tishon Kefel, Vatashon Midal Zehei. That's a big problem for Rabbi Lo. So that's the worst thing that's come from kasha. I'm Rabbi Sheshu Samani Beishamayim. It says the Gemara, no. This is a machlokes tanoim, and this is Beishamai, the Amri that say, Shinui b'mekomo omedes, v'lo kani. That when you have a shinui of this chain, of this nature, says Rashi, abagat bishtani, even though there is such a shinui, lo nafik mishuz bayla, that does not constitute a something that would affect the kinyan. Right, we're accustomed to the concept of shinui kona, but that's machlokes Beishamai silo. Shammai says, no, Shinui b'mekomo omedes, v'lo kani. Just because the animal had undergone some major transformation doesn't mean it leaves the reshus of the owner. The Tanya, how do you know this? Because it says, it's a completely different sugi over here regarding the Isser Vesman Zona. The person who goes ahead and he gives money to a woman in exchange for her services. She's a prostitute. So the Torah says that she can't take this money and use it for the purpose of bringing a carver. Obviously, the money is considered to be tainted. It's not something which is roy for the avoda. So, what happens if Nasan Labes not a chitin, Nasan Solas? What happens if he gives her an exchange for her services instead of giving her cash? He gives her chitin, grain, and she goes ahead and turns it into flour, or zaysim, if she gives him olives. Excuse me, he gives her olives and she makes it shemen. So he gives her grapes, v'asim yayin. So there's a shinui that's occurring. So tani chad asur, tani chad mutar. So you have two different opinions over here as to whether or not it's right to be brought as a karma. Amar Rav Yosef, tani gurion the me'as porak. Rav Yosef says that gurion me'as porak taught mishami osim b'shul matir. You know who this was, the tani chad asur, tani chad mutar. So this is machlokes b'sham v'tilo, whether shinui is something which would affect the what? Would affect what? Over here, it's not really a question of whether it's coded or not, but the question of how significant is a shinui. So the b'shamai says it's not so significant. My time the b'shamai, the sivit says gam l'rabu shinuyim. What's the pasuk? The pasuk is l'savi asan zona l'chir kele b'is Hashem l'kecho l'chol neder. It's considered an abomination. Gam shneim, also both of them. So Mishama says gam is the rabbi shinuyim. You have a pasuk which says that even when there's a shinui, so it's still included in the Isser Veslan Zona. Shilu says no, heim velo shinuyim. No, because it says heim, and heim means specifically them and not the shinuyim. Mishama, hagu heim velo vladoseim. Mishami says, no, Haim is them and not their vlados. Who the asabi? Silo says, Taiti Shamas mina, Haim lo shinayayim, Haim lo vladosayim. That what? It comes to teach both. That what? Haim comes to exclude both when there's been a shinoi and when there are vlados, if he gave her an animal, an aslan zola. Silo el haksiv gam, what's Silo going to do with the gam? Gam is a reboy, so the Gemara says, gam lebe silakasha. That word gam is going to be a problem for Beis Hillel. That's the end of this little side point over here. So the Gemara said, how could Rabbi Voss say very simply that Shinoi Kone, after all you have a Braisa that goes against him? So the Gemara says, no, it's Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel, whether or not Shinoi is considered something which would change the Rishus or not. And even though, again, we're not talking about Shinoi Rishus over here, Maybe we are. Maybe we're saying that since what? Since it's undergone such a serious transformation, it's not like it's not like right. She has status, therefore it's not considered like something that it's not what she received as payment. Right, because it's something different. So the fact that Beis Shammai says no, Beis Shammai says even this is still considered to be included in the Yisra of Esan Zona. So you see that Shinoi like that is not considered to be a change of status. Which Bisillo disagrees, because he doesn't hold the Drasha Gam, even though Gam the Gemara admits is somewhat of a problem for Bisillo. So the last thing I wanted to show you is a little nice discussion on this concept of Shor Ben Yom, is called a Shor. Just nice Tashkof over here. The Sifrei Amusar comes from Shepli Gadol of Asuma Hibabriya. Sha'adam Bechira Yisuri and Tafel Sabriya Meshuna Shina Gadol Mekolan Ebron. The Sifrei Amusar point out something incredible about human beings. Human beings on the one hand are considered to be obviously the most important, chosen, the most elevated of all of the creations of the world. Mostly all animals, for the most part, when they're born into the world, they're pretty much complete, they're ready to go. They're not missing anything. They have everything they need to begin life. That's what a Gemara means when it says that a Shor Ben Yom is called a Shor ready. Ready to go, you have everything you need. The other, my God, who came out, she ain't la hakiro klav, but tachos yotzel av yer olam, yotzel chasim yikol, and yachol shamish hatzma ma'uma, kulo tazel chasir acherim. But man is exactly the opposite. He can do absolutely nothing when he's born. He's completely different than who he is when he grows into an adult, and he's completely dependent on other people. Acha chobos levavos kosav, meirov atov, shasak adish baruch hu aladam. Why did God make the world that way? You're going to find this to be interesting. A child so young doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, normal and abnormal. If he would be totally, if his head would be completely mature, and he if a child would be able to, you know, understand, you know, how limited he was, that everybody around me, you know, when they have to go to the bathroom, they just walk over there and they close the door and they come out. And here I just go in my diaper. It would lead to such incredible depression. So Chavos Lubavitch says, it's a chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he spared us the agony of realizing how pathetic we are that we're born. But the bottom line is, regardless of the reason, man is created in an undeveloped state. Right? You can't say that when a person is born, he's a finished product, as opposed to Shor Ben Yom HaKadosh Short. Sefer Al-Shuri writes, Zesha Adam and Nivra Shalom Klaal, here Sha'amro Sha'alavicha Ve'getcha, Na'la'ov Mutal Chinuch V'no. This shows that there's a responsibility for the parents to take an active role in training their children. Otza Torah Shakol, Hilucha Shal Adam Dibur of Hanadah, so Yapti Chinuch Avu. V'lchein Kishno Le'adam, Eni Yodam Ye'uma, V'rak Api Riyasu Avimo. He has to learn from his parents, it's Maseyem, V'tachni Yoseyem, he learns from watching them how to act. And this achinuch happens like by way of dripping down. They're born with the seir, the shinayim, they're born with the hair and the teeth. You know, the mahaloch, they can walk right away and they're ready to go. What? Right, they don't need education. So this is an interesting distinction between man and animals. So when Chazal says Shor, Ben Yom HaKadosh Shor, so it's true, it comes from a pasuk, and it's no game over here in terms of a greater halachic issue, but it does reveal this very interesting, you know, split within nature that really differentiates between man and the rest of the animal kingdom. He points out in this last source of an Ksav Kabbalah that Esav was considered to be more of a complete product of birth, which is why he was completely hairy at birth. That maybe that was part of, on some level, that was part of his spiritual imperfection, that he didn't have as much to learn. Right. Right. And they may sort of say he came from this, he was sort of born in this more complete state, which is not the ideal, as opposed to Yaakov, who comes from Shem Ekev, which shows that he needs to walk, he needs to grow, he's not there yet. So, interesting Torah on this idea. Okay, next Wednesday night. I'm sorry, next Wednesday night.